So pleased to be able to chat, albeit virtually, with Dr. Wayne Westcott of the Exercise Science Program at Quincy College to get a little insight into what we should be doing while we're stuck at home to stay healthy. Wayne, great to see you.
So good to be on with you again, Joe. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Hopefully we can do it again in person real soon. But I thought in the meantime, you know, a lot of folks are probably going stir crazy, having cabin fever by now. I thought you could maybe just offer some, you know, some insights, some tips, some advice on how to stay physically active and eating healthy at the same time while we're all kind of stuck at home.
Right. I'd be very pleased to do that. Many people, at least in my neighborhood, I live down here on the South Shore, are walking. They're walking their dogs, they're walking, you know, with their family members, et cetera. And it's a wonderful thing to do. And I commend them on that. And pretty much, you know, unless the weather's bad, this is a great time for you to go out and see all the flowers starting and the trees blooming and those type of things. However, you know me, we've known each other for a long time. I'm very concerned that all the fitness facilities are closed, the YMCAs, our exercise lab at the college where, you know, where people train with us. And unfortunately, after 2 months, which it has been just about now since we closed, you start to lose muscle mass and bone density, and your metabolism starts to slow down because the loss of muscle, which is extremely active tissue, means we don't use as many calories as we once did. So even if we're eating the same as we were, and we'll talk about eating in a few minutes, if we're eating the same, we haven't changed, we've been good, we haven't, you know, just because we're at home and the refrigerator's right there, we're not in it all the time, we're still going to add some fat because the calories that used to be used to keep that muscle, you know, alive and functioning, and as I said, it takes a lot of energy every day, those calories now go into fat storage, and you kind of, it creeps up, and you don't know, you don't recognize it right away, and then you say all of a sudden, gee, I don't look quite as well, I don't feel quite as well, I'm not as strong as I was. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to give just two exercises that people can do that will hit most of their major muscle groups and requires no equipment. Most people, if there were athletic stores open or department stores, we could buy some dumbbells or some bands, but that's kind of challenging. So most of the people I've talked to, we don't have any equipment at home. What I would recommend is two exercises. One would be basic push-ups. You say, well, wait a minute, not all of our listeners and viewers can do push-ups, but there are many, many options to doing push-ups. And actually, I have this, I have photos of this in this Thursday's edition of the Quincy Sun, if you're Quincy, viewers. But push-ups are a wonderful exercise. They're very much underrated. They work your chest, your shoulders, your arms, particularly the back of the arms, the triceps. They also work your abdominals because a push-up is actually a plank with movement. You know how people do planks for their abs, they just hold a position, which is kind of boring. I've never been a big plank fan, right. But if you put movement into it, it changes the whole, you know, the whole scenario, and you're not thinking about holding the plank, you're thinking about doing the push-ups, so you get an excellent abdominal workout. Your low back is engaged to some degree because your core has to stay, you know, pretty much in a straight line, erect. I shouldn't say erect, but in a straight line. And so you get a lot of benefit from doing push-ups. You not only get those benefits, but one that people don't think about, and you and I are doing our best. I mean, you do it naturally because you're exercised. I try to keep my head up and keep my posture good. But the muscles that hold your head up all day long, you know, if you're not lying down, say you sleep 6 hours a day, you're holding your head up 16 hours a day. When you're sitting like now, those muscles are working. And those muscles are the first to start to lose their, you know, to lose their strength. And when the muscles in the neck lose their strength, your vertebrae, your cervical vertebrae start losing their density, and people get that forward tilted head, and then the Dowager's effect. So push-ups, when you're in that straight line, your neck muscles are, it's something you don't think about, but it's really important. So what we do with push-ups is we start, if you've not done this, we start on the kitchen counter.
Really?
Yeah. So you may put some little gloves on or put a towel there because you may have a sharp, have a corner, but you just start and you just do the push-ups on the counter. You're kind of at a, you know, maybe a 60 degree angle. It's not that hard because much of the weight is being borne by your feet. Okay. So you're not pushing that much of your weight, but you're still getting the same movement. You're still keeping all the muscles in line, working your chest, shoulders, triceps, all those things work really well. And you say, well, I can do about 10 of these. Okay, when you can do 15, let's try this. Let's try going down to the table, a sturdy table, like your kitchen table mm-hmm. or your dining table, and you're down a little bit lower, and that makes it a little harder, but it's a progressive, gradual increase in the stress.
Interesting.
I'm doing them, and you're doing the same thing, and then when you can do that, you say, I wonder if I could go down and do this on the piano bench or something like that, or the bed, even the bed is fine. It's not going to move on you, and you go down, so you're down a little bit closer, and then eventually say, I think I could do this, on the floor. And so you go to say, I can't go all the way down, because as you go down farther, it puts you in a weaker position biomechanically. Yeah. And so let's just do half push-ups, just to a right angle. That's fine. And then eventually, if you want to, you can say, okay, I'm going to go all the way down. Nice, good push-up, and all the way back. And every time with those progressions, when you can get to 15, say, I think, you do 15 for a couple sessions. Say, I think I can go the next increment of making it more challenging, so I can build my muscles and bones. And these again are all posture muscles. Yeah. When you're in that straight line, you're doing a push-up, hopefully, and you want to sit tall and stand tall. So it has a lot of benefits, and it's simple to do.
Oh, I'd never heard of this before. This is great advice and something everybody can do. Everybody has a counter and a table and a bed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got it down.
Yeah.
And if it does hurt your back, I've got issues, I've had back problems, then say, maybe I'll just go to the other alternative, which is I'll do them with bent knees, or I'll do them on the floor, but I'll put my knees on the floor so you don't have as much leverage to deal with. Gotcha. And that should take the stress off the back.
Okay. But
those would be my first approach toward the upper body muscles.
Yep.
For the lower body, and quite honestly, without gym equipment, there's nothing better that I can think of than just doing knee bends, or what we call squats, with body weight. You don't need any weight with these. They will be just fine. And with the squats, you want to keep your head up, your head in line with your torso. Again, I want to use the word erect, but I won't, because it's not exactly descriptive. But you want to have a straight line from your ears to your shoulders to your hips. And as you just lower your hips downward, be sure to also move them back. Like if you sit in a chair, you go down and back. Mm-hmm. If you just dropped your hips straight down, your knees would have to go very far forward of your toes. Something has to change. And when your knees go forward of your toes, it puts great stress across that knee joint. We don't ever want that. So most people don't know how this works. I've tried it. It really hurts my knees. It hurts my back. And it will. If you just drop straight down, it forces you, because you've got to keep your center of mass over your feet, your center of gravity over your feet.
Well, you got to tip forward, right?
you go way too far forward, which puts a lot of stress on your lower back.
Yeah.
Your heels come up, which puts a lot of stress on your lower body. That's not a good position for your heels. So if you don't get all that force on your balls of your feet, your metatarsals, and everything is wrong. And it's going to be worse than not doing anything. Trust me. Okay. If you get this right, if you put a chair behind, so I'm going to just trust me to try and just, as I'm sitting down, pretend I'm going to sit. I'm just going to touch my hips lightly to the chair seat and then come up. That's plenty of distance to go. You don't have to go all the way down until your hips touch your heels or anything like that, okay?
Great.
Just going to say, I got the chair behind me in case anything happens. I'm safe. I'm secure. And just come back up. And you'll say, hey, that's a pretty good one. Now, if you sit downwards and backwards, your knees stay right over your feet. So you never have that issue of them going too far forward. Your feet stay flat on the floor. So you're distributing the force. You've got a big base of support. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to feel it where you want to, not in your knee joint, not in your back, but right in your quadriceps and your hamstrings, the muscles of the thigh. Mm-hmm. Your hips will also get a pretty good workout doing that. And as you go forward, you do have to lean a little bit. As you drop down, I say you do go forward a little bit just to keep everything over your toes, because if something goes back, hips go back, your shoulders and chest have to go forward, but just a little bit, like my hand is right now. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be too far forward, and you want to keep your head up, always looking straight ahead. Okay. Keep your neck in line, keep everything just right. And as that descent occurs gradually, touch your hips to the chair, and then say, I'm going to lift right up. And as you lift up, of course, everything straightens up again. Ooh. And you've worked your calves a little bit, believe it or not, your the front thigh, your rear thigh, your gluteus maximus, your hip muscles, and you've given, just like the push-ups really give a good effort to your abdominals without really realizing it, these give a good effort to your lower back, because as it goes forward and back, it has to maintain that posture. Mm-hmm. Again, not everyone can do squats. My wife has a little difficulty. We were trying to do them the other day, and she's like, it just hurts. I just, you know, I've got previous injuries or just the way I'm put together. Rita, my associate, who you never, yep, she has the same trouble. She was in a car accident. She can't do them well. So here are some alternatives. One, and you'll see this in the paper as well. I have Ilse just going to a quarter squat, just a little ways down. So you have to do more repetitions. That's okay, because you're in a stronger range, but you're not going to hurt your back. It's better than doing nothing.
Yeah.
Now, what Claudia did, my wife, she said, you know, I'm gonna try something I used to do. I used to have a roller ball, like a exercise ball, and I'd put it on the wall and I'd let it roll up and down with me. We couldn't find the roller ball. Not a good sign.
It hasn't been used in a while, I guess.
No. Well, she's been using doing leg presses and leg curls at the gym. So she hasn't been doing it. But she said, let's just try it with the wall. So I said, sure, that'll work. We have a straight section, like in your wall behind you, or a door even. I said, oh, that's great. I just slide up and down the door. It supports my back. And when you have that support, you can really get in the right position. You don't have to worry about leaning forward. You don't have to move, because everything is supported by the wall.
Right.
And that's just a good, and you just go down a little ways. So anyone could actually do these.
Okay.
And when you think about it, those are the muscles that are used probably more than anything else in everyday ambulation, getting up and down out of chairs, getting up, especially in cars, because the car seat's a little lower, getting in and out of cars or trucks or things of that nature. So I would recommend those two. You can do them without weight. Well, with Claudia, we did find her exercise bands.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. We had the bands. We found those. All right. We hadn't used them in a while, but we have. So when they get too easy, especially the squats, because you have pretty large muscles there, you can just put the band underneath your feet and grip it, so that when you're in the down position, it's taut, and as you come up, it gives you a little resistance. So there are many ways to progress these.
Okay. And what should I be doing with my hands, Wayne, while I'm doing squats?
Thank you. When you're doing them against the wall, you can put them any place you want.
Okay.
But when you're, and again, you'll see this in the, I don't usually take photos, but I said, and I didn't have anybody else, I had to take photos of myself. I showed where the hands go. I'm going to see if I can turn this.
Yeah, this will get a live demonstration here.
Okay. When you go down, you start going down, hands go up.
Okay.
Because you see, your hips and back are going downwards. So your center of mass moving back. And that's why you feel, I'm going to fall backwards. That's why you got the chair, so you won't fall backwards.
Right.
If you put your hands up, it makes all the difference to work, because it's just enough. It moves your center of mass forward to counterbalance the hips going backward. And you just feel better. Thank you for asking that. It's not the only way to do them, and people that are really good at this don't have to do that. But I do it because I've had so many foot surgery, I have a little balance issue. So it just helps with your balance. It helps with the center of mass. Just let the hands go up, and when you come back up, then come back down. Take a breath, down, and then up.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Thank you. That is a very good point. Thank you.
These are just great ways that folks can just start right off, right with in their homes right now with what they have. I think it's just wonderful. I've seen a lot of people trying to substitute gym equipment with things like barrels of cement or tomato cans or jugs of water or what have you. But I would think you'd have to be careful not to injure yourself.
Right. And that is true. You could use gallons or half gallons of water and fill them, half full, partway full, pints of pounds. So you can kind of, if you put a quart in, you've got 2 pounds. If you've got half a gallon, you've got 4 pounds, et cetera. So you can do that. You could use the little cans of soup or things of that nature. So, and again, great points. For example, we said, well, Wayne, we've got kind of this action, but I don't have any pulling actions. What could I do for a pulling action? Pulling actions are a little more challenging, but to pull, you have to kind of turn your body so that you're going against gravity, unless you have bands. You have bands, you can sit, as I do with Claudia, and she sits on the floor, she puts the bands around her feet and just pulls them back, and that's great. But if you don't have the bands, let's say you had a half gallon of water with a handle on it, and I don't know how I can show this, but you would use your piano stool or two chairs, and you would bend over and put one knee on the piano bench and one hand on the piano bench. So you're supporting your back and stretch. Okay. You're not going to hurt your back.
Okay. Yes.
I do it. I have a bench press bench in my basement. I just put one knee and one hand on the bench. My other leg is on the floor, and my other hand, of course, is holding the water bottle.
Water.
So So I've got support for my back. I'm not going to hurt my back. I have hand support and knee support, and I got my leg, and I just bring that water up to my chest and back down. It's the opposite of a push-up. The push-up, you're working against gravity. You're pushing your body upwards against gravity. This one, you're bent over, you know.
Okay, yep.
It's easy to do. It's not gonna hit your chest. Your hand's going to come to your chest. And you have to do it with one arm. Now, sometimes in the fitness magazines, Joe, they show people bending over and doing both arms. But that puts tremendous stress on your lower back.
Okay.
If you were bending over, doing a bent over row, which I used to do as a young boy, I didn't know any better, so I took a biomechanics class in college. If I had 100 pounds on the bar, I would have 1,000 pounds of force on my lumbar spine because of the leverage. Leverage is everything. What you said, people can get hurt. I'll give you one more example in a moment. But if they do this one, they're not going to have any problems. They're going to come right up, right down, and you'll feel that in your upper back muscles, your trapezius dorsi muscles, your biceps muscles, and your rear shoulders. It's the exact opposite of the push-ups, so you get all of your upper body muscles with just those two exercises. So a very good suggestion. I'll give you just one more briefly where you would use the cans. The muscles of your upper back, your trapezius, and your middle shoulders are very important because they control such vulnerable joints, your neck in particular, but also your shoulder joints, very vulnerable, a lot of shoulder injuries.
So
working the supraspinatus, which you can't see, it's underneath the deltoid, but it holds the humerus into the shoulder. We call it a socket, but it's not much of a socket. It's just held together by the muscles and the ligaments. All right, and the tendons that surround it. But it's important to work the upper trapezius and this part, the middle deltoid and the supraspinatus. So if you take two cans and just lift them up like this, I'm lifting my arms to the side if you can't see it, that you don't need much weight, believe me, because of leverage. But if you do that, you'll say, oh yeah, I feel it right here. And you don't need more than a can of soup or beans or something of that nature. And on all these exercises, I recommend doing about 10 to 15 repetitions.
Okay.
If you say, well, I can do more. Okay, that's good. Take a little break and then do a second set of 10 to 15. And of course, with some of the things, you can, you know, go deeper. You can use more water in the jug. But always, if you slow things down, instead of going boom, 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 all right, if you go boom, 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 hold it for a second and boom. If you slow things down, it'll be much longer time under tension for the muscles. They'll get more benefit and you won't need to use a lot of weight at all.
Okay.
So there are many ways you can make this safe.
Yeah. And is this something that you'd suggest folks do every day, Wayne?
Oh, thank you. Joe, what I do without you? You should be teaching with us at the fitness facility. No. My wife is going through chemo. So she has a little, you know, it's been not terrible, but it's a little challenging.
Yeah.
So I said, honey, you're only going to do, you know, two exercises. You could probably do them, you know, more frequently than normally because the second day said, I can't, I'm sore. And some of you may be sore, some of the other people. So I'm backing off on that, being a little too aggressive here and saying, let's do it like we normally do. We always recommend for strength training every other day.
Okay.
So you have at least 48 hours to recover.
Gotcha.
So maybe do the strength training on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then do your cardio Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, or you could do the cardio every day if you're walking. That's not an issue. And pretty soon, people will be able to get on their cycles. Just as a little change of pace, where around you go about twice as far, three times as far in the same amount of time. And if it gets hot, you get that air cooling effect because the cycle, you're going a little faster. So there's some other alternatives to walking as well as the weather gets nicer.
Yes, super. Yeah, we hope we're done with the snow hopefully by now. another question, Wayne, I had was when things, you know, hopefully do get back to some sort of normalcy and people are able to return to the gyms and get back to their regular routines, should they just get right back into what they were doing before they stopped? Or, you know, is there special considerations to kind of ease into it again?
Very, very special considerations. Thank you, Joe. When you have missed working out, your neuromuscular system regresses. And of course, you lose some of the muscle mass as well. when we go back and try to do what we were doing before, or even, you know, 90% of what we were doing before, we really do more stress than the body can accommodate, in terms of rebuilding in a reasonable amount of time. So what I recommend, and it depends on how long you've been away, but let's say 10% per month as a general rule. So if you were doing, let's say you're doing leg presses, just for simplicity, you do much more than this, I know, but let's say you're doing leg press with 100 pounds, and you were doing 10 leg presses with 100 pounds 2 months ago, mid-March when we closed our fitness fully. And so you've lost, if you'd lost just 1 month, I'd say, let's start at 90 and just see how you can do with 90. So drop it by 10% from 100 to 90. And you'll say, okay, that felt pretty good. We've missed 2 months. So I'd drop it by 20%. So that'd be 80. So I'm going to start 80. So well, that's too late. No, you need to not only recondition the muscles, but you need to recondition the connective tissue. We call those tendons that attach the muscles to the bone. Muscles are very elastic and they're very forgiving. They also have a muscle memory. That's what people call it. It's not really the truth, but they have nuclei. And when you do your strength training, you build more muscle and you add more nuclei. When you stop doing your strength training, you lose the muscle, but you keep the nuclei. So when you start again, it's much easier to get back. It's much quicker to get back than someone who's never trained.
Okay.
But when you do that too much too soon, the tendons that connect, they have a very low blood supply. They're very inelastic, extremely inelastic. And they now take the brunt of that and they get sore or injured. And you don't want to have a tendonitis situation that sets you back another 2 months. So start light. When you start light, you say, well, that was pretty easy, but I'm just getting back. Then you'll be able to progress week by week, and it won't take long. I don't know how long, depends on the individual, but it won't take long for you back where you were without injury.
Yeah.
If you start too soon, you say, yeah, I didn't lose much, but then you're sore, you miss a few more days, you come back and try again, it becomes kind of a roller coaster of, I did it, but I'm paying the price, I did it. So it's far better to say, hey, I've lost some strength, I've lost some time here, I'm going to come back gradually and progressively, and within another 2 weeks, I should be back to pretty close to where I was. So patience is really the answer. It's a double whammy because I've lost so much, I've got to start and go gradually, but it's better than the alternative of getting injured and then being sidelined for even longer.
Right, right. Great advice. I know it's tempting to jump right back into it, but you'll set yourself back further. So just patience is a virtue. Yeah. we can talk, if you wouldn't mind, wait a little bit about diet and trying to, you know, eat a little bit healthy while we're all cooped up during this time, and special things to consider when it comes to that.
Absolutely. Being around food is tempting. And so my wife made homemade breads the other day for Easter and whatnot, French breads and things. And it's very tempting. So you have to have a little more self-control, realizing that even though you're maybe doing the walk and maybe you're doing the push-ups and the squats, which I hope you are, you're not getting as much normal activities when you're, you know, driving to work, parking, walking around, going from floor to floor, place to place, person to person, teaching classes. You just usually not as active in your house as you are in the normal workaday world. Right. Now, fortunately, as you said, without any more snow, we'll be out in the yard gardening and lawns and things of that nature. And that will help a lot. But because we're not as active, our resting metabolic rate is not going to be doing what it normally does. Or I shouldn't say that. Our resting energy expenditure, are just normal, not active in the sense of doing runs or cycles or weights, but just our normal daily routine is not going to burn as many calories as it usually does.
Right.
So we have to say, either I'm going to cut back, which is no fun at all, or I'm going to have to substitute higher quality foods that are very nutritious, but they're not calorie dense. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in terms of nutrition, they're better, but in terms of calories, they're also better because they're lower.
Okay.
And that would be basically three substitutes that we could do. I happen to love these things, so it doesn't bother me, but my wife is a little more challenged. She likes a little more sweets, right, things of that nature, sure, breads and pastas, and she's Italian. What can I say?
So, hey, I can understand.
Right? You can understand. So So what I do is say, I'm going to have a little less of the main course, whatever that might be, the higher calorie main course. Yeah. And I'm going to go a little heavier. And we've been doing this. I'm going to have more peas or corn or a larger salad. All right. Think of the veggies. You can eat all the veggies you want, and it's unlikely you're going to gain much fat because they're high in fiber, high in vitamins and minerals and all kinds of nutrients that we need, photonutrients and those type of things. Go with the veggies. They're not fattening for the most part. And then the other thing, these have a little more sugar in them, but they also have a lot of other great things. And they're pretty much any fruit that you eat, an apple, an orange, a banana, pear, pick a fruit, it's about 100 calories per unit. So an apple, normal size apple, banana, pear, peach, et cetera, orange, about 100 calories. That's not a lot. Okay. It's a lot better than, you know, some alternatives you could be eating. They're that same size.
Right.
Like, again, a cup of pasta or a lot of breads or dessert type things of that nature. So go with fruits. They have the fiber. They have all the things you need. More fruit, more vegetables. And then in terms of the grains, Claudia, my wife, has been going with, what is it? Is it spinach pasta? I'm not sure. It's some kind of different pasta she buys. Or the whole grain, you know, which would be a little better than just your kind of the white don't bite type of foods. Yeah, sure. And I'm not against, you know, regular foods that are white. There's no problem. And potatoes are not as bad as everybody says. Potatoes are fine as long as they're not French fries or potato chips. Okay. But a little more on the whole grains. I've been eating for breakfast. One day I eat oats, just oats out of the bag, like the Quaker oats type thing, that type of thing. I just eat them plain or put a few raisins in there. Next day I eat wheat germ. I don't know if anybody eats wheat germ anymore, but it's a really health. It's probably the healthiest thing you can put into your body from a grain. They sell them at the store. It's just the germinating kernel of the wheat. Mm. And so I'm trying to get really good grains when I eat grains. And put in a little dried fruit. Now, dry fruit is very high in calories, but it's a dry fruit is very sweet. Dried plums, or what we call prunes, or dried apricots, or dates. Dates are really sweet. Or raisins, or dried cranberries. You can get the ones that are half the calories, etc. Yeah. But they give you the sweetness that we might crave without all the fat, because there's very little fat. It's a very small percentage of fat in those dried fruits. They're mostly just pure carbohydrates. Or sugar carbohydrates, but they're good for you. They have fiber and other things. And they substitute your sweet tooth for maybe chocolate or cookies or cakes or pies or things that would have a lot more oils or fats in them, etc. So those are just a few things that I do. The dried fruit substituting for, you know, the pastries and the sweets. A little more on the vegetables, a little more on the fresh fruits, and a little less on, you know, say if you're going to have chicken parmesan or something like that. I cut back just a little bit on that, and rather than say, oh, I need some, my wife's favorite saying is comfort food. I need some comfort food. Yeah. She's going through chemo, and I understand that, you know, but a little less comfort food and try and develop an appetite for these things are just a little bit. Now, the last thing is water.
Okay.
Definitely need water, and water is, it kind of fills your system a little bit. It's, to some degree, it is satiating, the fact that you're putting something into your system. Mm-hmm. It's so helpful for you, and it has zero calories.
Great.
One little trick that we do is that you'll be reading in the nutrition literature nowadays that people say don't eat sodas, of course, don't drink sodas, but also don't drink fruit juices. Well, fruit juices are really good for you, but they are calorie dense. They have a lot of calories. Orange juice, apple juice, grape juice in particular. We love fruit juices, but what we do is we buy the seltzer waters, okay?
Oh, sure, the bubbly water,
Bubbly water, See, I knew there was a technical term for it, all right? So you buy the water, and it's just water, but it has the little bubbles in it, and we take our glass, we put half of it with the seltzer water and half of it with the juice, because we get the best of both worlds. Just half the calories, but you get all the benefits, you know, of the apple juice, orange juice, grape juice, whatever it may be. So they're just some little things you can do to say, I'm going to make these changes while I'm in a situation such as we're facing right now.
Great tips. Great advice, Wayne. Yeah. I'm thinking also, you know, folks' sleep schedules have been probably totally upended just because of working from home and also stress that everybody is under. So maybe some tips for achieving a better night's sleep.
Yes. I have always needed 9 hours sleep. Some people get by on 7 or 8. I have never been able to do that since I was a boy. I need my 9 hours sleep to function at my best. That's just me. And I've had a hard time getting that lately. And I finally figured out why. Because of the change and the teaching remotely here at home, which takes about 3 times as long for me, because I'm not used to it, as teaching in the classroom at the college. And I, instead of giving a test and giving back the test every same time, they're all saying it in different times. I have to get back to them each individually. And it's challenging. It's wonderful, but it's challenging. And so I've been getting to bed late and I've not been sleeping well. And you'd think that, okay, if you go to bed at 9 and get up at 6, that's 9 hours sleep. You go at 10 and get up at 7, that's 9 sleep. But there's also this biorhythms thing, and mine is not as good as most people's. I'm an early to bed person. If I go to bed early, I sleep well. If I stay beyond my biorhythms, if I try and get to bed at 11 or something like that, it just doesn't work for me. So I would suggest that whatever your normal sleep pattern has been, don't say, well, I can step once or later. If it works for you, fine. But if it doesn't, if you say, well, I didn't sleep very well, so I'm sleeping in 2 hours longer than I expected to get my rest, then that's not good. So try and keep with a normal schedule and try and keep it fairly consistent. If you go to bed between 9 and 10 at night or 10, 11, try and keep that, unless you're a shift worker, like a nurse, they're still working. They have to work the evenings, of course, or the nighttime. Mm-hmm. But if you can, try and keep a pretty even, consistent pattern. If you need a nap, if you really need a nap, that's fine. But oftentimes, especially when you're home, take a nap in the afternoon, it's hard to sleep at night. You spend too much time in that same bed. Yep. And you need that bed. Say, okay, here's my bed. Time to sleep. Sleep soundly. Get up and do your thing.
Great. If folks have questions, Wayne, or want to reach out to you, what's a good way for them to do that?
Wow. This becomes challenging. I usually say, call me anytime because I return my phone calls, but we're not at the college. My email address, and just give me 1 week to get through finals. It's final week, which is challenging, but I'd be happy to address any concerns. If anybody is interested in fitness questions or in a career in fitness, which some of your viewers might be, we need it now more than ever, and especially in wellness. And we're starting a new wellness program, a new major at our college called Wellness and Health Promotion. It's a huge field now. It's really growing rapidly. And we have articulation. We have some of the best Boston colleges with this. And then also we have a summer program with 3 of our foundational fitness courses, which is a certificate in fitness for people that want to move in that direction. But you can reach me at W Westcott, and I'll spell that because it's has 3 T's. It's W for my first initial, my first name is Wayne. So W, and then Westcott, WESTCOTT. So there are 3 T's. In that, W. Westcott, and that's just where I work, at quincycollege.edu, stand of course for education. So W. Westcott at quincycollege.edu. But if they forget that T in the middle, because a lot of people spell Westcott without that middle T, it won't get to me, and you'll think that I didn't respond to you, and I really will. I always respond to my emails, my phone calls, but please put that other T in the middle, and I'll be happy to do my best.
That's so great. I really appreciate it. Anything else you'd like to add for folks this morning?
I am so appreciative of you. Thank you for allowing me to come on and share this information. I hope it will be helpful to your viewers, and I thank you for helping me to get all the information in there. I left out a lot of stuff.
That's our pleasure. I'm happy to be able to do it. And I wish you and your wife good health and happiness going forward through this. I know we'll get through it together.
Thank you. You're always so uplifting and positive. Thank you, Joe. Always a privilege.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.